The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. So I think when we get nervous or perhaps sullen or even just a little bit melancholy, we have a difficult time eating. Well, maybe some of us do, some of us don't, right? But I have had that experience. And I can imagine that Jesus, knowing what was going to happen to him, knowing the depths of betrayal, and even perhaps that sadness, knowing that he's soon to be abandoned by all of his disciples except for John and his mother, would have had a hard time, say, preparing a meal and enjoying that meal with his own. That's what I would think. And there's perhaps some of that going on here in the scene. He makes remark about it, right? It's not as though he's just sitting back and pretending nothing is going to happen. He's in fact telling his disciples about it. I just draw attention to that because I think that the character who's lost in this scene most often is Jesus. We jump to Judas, and from Judas we think about also the apostles who deserted him. Yeah, but betrayal is a very serious matter, but so is the abandonment of Jesus by his apostles. When we look at this scene, we can see some of the workings out of, say, that line that we might say to ourselves, that Jesus died for our sins. It's not simply that, you know, in some kind of theological way, Jesus has died for our sins, and so we have power to overcome sin, although that's true. But what we see is the sins of our hearts are here and throughout this Holy Week on display in putting Jesus on the cross. And first and foremost, pride. And it's always pride, isn't it? That it's our way over God's way. I mean, that's, I think, just simply what all the rest of our sins are. But we can look through it, look at it through that lens that we've been working on, I think, this year, of seeing worship gone awry. So is it self-worship? Is it worship of goods or power or pleasure? Because it's not worship of the one true God. Worship of the one true God leads us to honor Jesus in every aspect of our lives. It leads us to praise him and to be able to serve our neighbor selflessly. Just one little thing before I let you go, before we get on to more important matters. I was at Holy Face in Clifton yesterday. They offer confessions throughout the week, so it's easy for priests to go because when we're hearing confessions, usually so are other priests, so it's very difficult for us to go to someone else. But they have in their chapel a statue of Jesus scourged. And it is very disturbing. It's as disturbing as The Passion of the Christ, that movie, that Mel Gibson movie. It's very disturbing. But to stand there in front of Jesus, or to kneel there in front of Jesus, and to see his wounds, to see how, you know, skin ripped off, and it's horrible. But there's something about that say quells our unruly passions, because we realize that it's our unruly passions that did that. And that's the mirror then that's in front of us. And so I would ask for your reflection. You may find that image or a particularly gruesome crucified Christ image. We don't have to run away from that. That happened. And it shows not only then the disorder that is within ourselves, but the price that's paid to conquer that disorder, and the great love for us that would endure that suffering for our freedom.